Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Weekend Water Cooler. I'm your host, Jean Bolduc. I'm looking down at my sheet to see what my name is, because when I'm around these people, I get a little starstruck. We're talking today with Mark and Julie Lewis, old friends of mine. Say hello, Mark.
Hello.
Say hello, Julie, in your real voice, in your real voice.
Hello.
Hello. And we're going to, Mark and Julie, I've known for, oh my goodness, it's probably 20 years, right?
Yes.
Oh my God, it is. So Mark and Julie have lived in the area for longer than that.
Since 1995.
Since 95. So we got to know, my husband Rick and I got to know Julie, I guess, right after you relocated here from Florida, right?
That's
you were in
correct.
Miami, right? Oh my gosh. So Julie and my husband Rick, bless his heart, that long-suffering man, worked together at a wonderful organization no longer with us. Called Generations Family Health Plan, which, boy, you know, today looks like it might be a good idea whose time has finally come.
Right.
It was a provider-sponsored HMO.
Yes.
And Julie was the sales director and could sell anybody anything, of course. And my husband, Rick, was their underwriting director, or as Julie called him, the sales prevention department, right?
Yes, or the undertaker.
The undertaker, right. Nice. Oh, yeah. Are you getting this at home, Rick? Yeah, that's good. So we got to we got to know each other then, and just before Generations came to no longer be. Was bought out by Partners, I guess, which
correct.
I think is also no longer with us now. These things have all, you know, merged into other entities. Julie and Mark quit their respective jobs and did what an awful lot of people in this world dream of doing and wish they could do, but kind of feel like they don't know how to do and, frankly, are just too chicken to do.
True.
They quit their jobs and they took their then 8-year-old son, Max, or as I call him, Maximum Lewis, and they took a trip around the world. And it was my good fortune that I was doing some writing for the Chapel Hill Herald at the time. And over a drunken meal somewhere on Franklin Street, where was that? At Pie Wacket or something, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We conjured up this idea that this was in 1999 that we came up with this, and your trip was actually mostly in 2000, right?
We left in July of 2000.
Right. And they went on their trip. The internet was pretty primitive by today's standards. Felt like kind of Morse code compared to what I'm thinking of now when we think of FaceTime and all the things that you can do now and live streaming and, oh my goodness, it's too much to imagine. What's changed since then? But back then, we came up with the idea that we would do a monthly installment. We would do a story on the Lewises and their journey around the world. And I got 12 wonderful stories. And we also did a kids' geography quiz that was called Where's Max? So we had Mark, our wonderful photographer in chief, would take a picture of Max by a landmark that would not have a sign right behind it that said Kilimanjaro, next right, you know, or whatever.
And by the way, it was taken on the state-of-the-art digital camera at the time, a 1.1 megapixel camera.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, just really, if you know, whatever you have in your oldest cell phone is better than that camera.
Right.
I just remember that very first article with the giant headline that said, Where's Max? And it looked like a local kid had been kidnapped.
Right, by his parents, apparently. Yes. Has anyone called his parents?
But you had to read in to figure that
out. Yeah, exactly. That was paragraph 4, we buried the lead.
And you'll have to inform Interpol about it.
Exactly. Yeah, because they might find that kid. So this was all in the innocent world of a couple of crazy American kids and their kid, pre-9/11. And somehow or another, even though we're pretty sure that most of our communications were through internet cafes that were probably on dial-up, because I don't think there was Wi-Fi
right.
in 2000. You all went to how many countries?
We did 16 countries.
16 countries.
Holland, Germany, Switzerland, Turkey,
this
Greece.
This is the quiz to see
Egypt,
if you can get them all.
Jordan, Israel, Nepal, Bali, Thailand, Australia, New Zealand, Italy, France, and Monaco.
In that order? almost.
Sort of.
Yes,
almost,
pretty
yeah.
much.
Almost we were exactly
chasing,
in that order.
Chasing spring, so we didn't have to pack a lot of warm weather.
No winter clothes.
Okay,
winter clothes,
see, that's
right.
smart.
Sweaters,
that's pretty
jackets.
Smart.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't do that in North Carolina because, you know, you can look at the calendar and say, well, it's late March, you know. What could possibly happen?
All
snow
four
or something?
Seasons in 1 week.
Yeah.
You know, really.
We had a few surprises along the way.
Did you come out one morning and say, uh-oh?
I just remember in Nepal, Mark renting, the only thing we could find was a woman's jacket.
hot pink jacket.
Rented.
I'm not remembering the pictures from that.
Yeah, there weren't any. They were shredded.
Well, there were, but you had to kill those people, yeah. right? Nobody ever found you after that. So that trip was absolutely fascinating. We did a little geography quiz. We'd put a picture of Max in the paper and a couple of clues about the location where he was. We had a winner every month, even if I had to grab some kid off the street and say, come on, anybody could get this. And you came back in one piece, and to my amazement, and I do mean amazement, you know, we had fixed dates and deadlines for these stories. We never missed a deadline, despite very substantial time differences, and sometimes it would be days between the time that I might ask you a question or whatever. So good for us. Good for us. You know, those stories should be rerun. And now tell us the happy ending about your wonderful son, Max, who, and despite my best efforts to have time stand still, is not that adorable little toe-headed boy. He is now a graduate of my beloved University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Thank you very much.
From the number 4 nursing school in the country.
Take that.
Yep. He's
and
working at UNC hospitals in infectious diseases and pulmonary disorders. So.
And Max, by the way, if you're listening, infectious diseases, don't bring your work home with you. Okay.
That's yeah, all we've I'm had that say. Conversation.
Yeah,
a
I bet
times.
You have. I know you see him and you say, give mommy a hug. But first, how about you wash your hands just one more time? Wow. And he is loving this work, isn't he?
He loves it. He never, ever complains about his job. He just. 12 hours, and it's like he...
And he can't
enjoys.
Feel his feet anymore, and it doesn't matter.
He would never know. He just never complains. He only talks about all of the good stuff and the people he loves and taking care of people, so it's really...
He loves the patients, and he
yeah.
loves the people he works with.
He just decided
amazing.
One day he wanted to be a nurse, and that was it. He wanted to go to one school. That was UNC Chapel Hill. He
That's
applied
right.
to only one nursing school.
Well, there is really only one when you think about it. When
exactly.
you think about it, come
Which
on.
As a parent, you're like, maybe you need a backup, but he was like, no, this is where I'm going.
And right, Johns Hopkins, safety school.
Wouldn't a plan B be prudent?
Well, yeah, right. You should talk, yeah.
Yeah,
sure, plan B. Oh, plan B, I get that. That's a medical joke, actually, when you think about it. Well, I mean, you know, he's just turned out to be an amazing guy, which, you know, you had to know he would be. Any kid who could go on that trip, always full of smiles. I know you never had a tense moment or any problems on the trip. I know that he was just cheerful and loving it every single second, right?
He, you know, truthfully, he did really well on the trip. There were a couple of meltdowns, I think, when...
No, but I'm talking about him, not you.
Oh.
Yeah, okay.
No, me too.
He was remarkable. We can count the number of difficult days that he had
right.
on one hand.
On one hand.
It was
yeah.
remarkable. I think part of it was... Everybody he met everywhere we
right.
went told him how lucky he was.
Right.
And
well,
kept reminding
yeah.
him how lucky he was that
right.
he didn't have to go to
it's
school.
It's a lot of reinforcement. What? No school for a year? Excellent.
There's a lot of journal entries that end with dun, dun, dun.
We saw a lot of rocks today.
We saw a bunch of old broken things in Italy.
Well, you know, it really was once in a lifetime trip. I mean, it was for me, and I didn't even go, but I felt like I did. And you know, if my stories were any good at all, it's because Julie really wrote them. I'm not giving That's the money true. Back, Chapel Hill Herald, but yeah, the money, right? I could buy this pen with the money, but the stories that I wrote were essentially a news format for your journals.
Correct.
That you sent. And you know, you're a wonderful writer. I'm sure you already know this.
No.
Have you read your stuff? Or you just don't read it. You just write it and then say, whatever.
Gene'll fix it.
Yeah, right. Just go fix it. So, you know, I might have made a couple of spelling corrections, but I reformatted it slightly and only slightly. Because the storytelling was really great, and it was obvious that you didn't just try to sit down. I hope I'm right about this, and just try to sit down and spit it all out at once. I think that you probably kept that going at least every day or nearly so.
Yes, I usually spent at least like one day a month, usually right around that time when we would need to send you something. And I would spend time by myself, maybe 4 or 5 hours
just to let your head
and writing.
Right.
What
right.
I wanted to get out.
Right.
So, well, Julie, you kept a journal as well.
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
I kept a journal almost every day.
That's more detailed, right?
Yes.
That has all the stuff in it that Mark did wrong.
Yeah.
including that lady's jacket, Mark.
Yeah.
We'll come back to that later.
It's just a little embarrassing.
You know, you can't use a bathroom in North Carolina now. You know that, right?
I know.
I'm just going to tell you. Okay, so so we're going to be back, and we're going to talk more about Mark and Julie's travels, because guess what? When they got back, they didn't stop there. It never stops there. You're going to hear a lot more about this, and these are fascinating folks. Mark and Julie Lewis with us here at 97.9 WCHL. Don't move. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back. We're joined by Mark and Julie Lewis, our globe-trotting locals. Now, you all lived in Chapel Hill back when you weren't in Chapel Hill. You lived in Chapel Hill when you took your trip around the world.
Correct.
But now you have relocated to Durham, which I forgive you for because you live in a cool place. But what I wanted to ask you next is, it sounds like just a... You know, oh, I guess you just did that to say that you quit your jobs and took a trip around the world took a year off and went around the world. How in the world did you come to that decision? I ask this despite the fact that I kind of know. How do you? I know that some of the events that led to it, but how do you actually make the decision itself?
Well. For me personally,
yeah.
I'll say that, you know, my brother died. He was
right.
36 years old, and he just died in his sleep one night. And so for me, it was like, wow, if that can happen, then
right.
that can happen anytime. So
right.
why are we not doing some of the things that are on our bucket list?
Right.
And it was a challenging time because there was a lot of grief involved, but I was also being, you know, as a sales director, having to draw this energy up every day to get the team ready to go.
Yeah.
And it just felt like it was coming from sort of a fake place because
right.
I really was feeling super low about what had happened to
right,
Tom.
Right.
And so Mark, seeing this, said, why don't we just leave? Like,
yeah.
what do you mean? Why don't we just quit and take a trip around the world? I'm
right.
like, well, nobody does that.
Right.
You know, this
right.
is a good job I was going to be quitting.
Right.
And, you know,
right.
it's like the security of getting that again and everything. So it was like,
right.
that was sort of.
So all you had to do was say, nobody does that. And Mark's, you know,
yeah.
hair
well,
was on fire.
He's the bold one.
Well,
yeah.
some other things were happening at the time as well that seemed to make it more possible. So
yeah.
believe it or not, just coincidentally, I'm at the bus stop with Max. You know, waiting for the school bus in Southbridge, you know. And
yeah.
Somebody tells me that their neighbor just rented their house for $2,300 a month.
Yeah.
Which I was thinking, wow, our house is as nice as that house. And that would more than pay for our mortgage payment, a lot
yeah,
more.
Yeah, right, right.
You know, if that's...
If the house
could,
is covered, maybe we
yeah,
could,
yeah. I mean, if
yeah.
we don't have that payment to worry
right,
about.
Right, right.
And that just coincidentally... showed up
right
at the bus stop one morning. And, you know, the conversation about tomorrow being not being promised to anybody
right.
was
right.
the forefront
for us. yeah.
of our conversation. And truthfully, when I was in college
mm-hmm.
back in the 70s, the whole thing was you graduate college, you backpack around Europe, and then you start your life.
Right. And you didn't get the backpacking trip.
And I ended up becoming a father my senior year in college.
Oh, right,
which
right.
Which derailed
of course.
My whole plan for backpacking anywhere. The only place I went was to work with a briefcase. So.
Yeah. Yeah, but of course, you know, remember now, though, that you also got to be the youngest, coolest grandfather.
Oh, yeah.
By
so,
the way.
So that works. That
There's
works.
That.
And my daughter was very cool, and I was a young, cool, hip dad.
Yeah, that's
playing
right.
Playing lots of rock and roll for my baby.
That's exactly right, right.
But I always had it in the back of my mind that I wanted a backpack. I wanted to travel, not vacation.
Right. Right.
As distinguished from traveling.
Right, right.
I always wanted to travel. So,
so these things kind of all collided.
Bubbled
up
together.
Just kind of a happy conflagration of events and ideas and driving forces and the economy at the end of the 90s was in pretty good shape, and so of course I'm sure you had to bring all of your money out of the stock market that you had in there if you had any, and gee whiz, I guess a couple of years later that didn't turn out to be so bad, but for you,
we're lucky we spent
but
some
we were,
of it.
But we felt with the economy roaring, we kind of felt confident that if we quit, we'd come back and get a job. It wouldn't
we'd
be a
just
problem,
drop right back
you know,
in.
And,
right.
And so we
you both have worked in sales, and when you can sell this, you can sell that.
Right.
And so you come to this process of how do we actually do this? So. You looked at a couple of books. You looked at some websites. How did you ever figure out the logistics of doing it?
Mark actually came home with 40 books from the library, which is the maximum you can take out at one time. Seriously. And there's just stacks of
books you start off.
I can just see this, right? This big Mark walking in and the books are stacked up so high that you can't see his head.
Yeah. Lonely
You're
planets
going, Mark,
everywhere.
Is that you?
Right. Lonely planet guides are everywhere.
Right.
So you start out and you just start out listing the places that you absolutely have. If you're going to take a trip around the world.
So everything is on the table.
You create this long list. Like, one of the things we wanted to sail the Greek islands.
Okay.
That just sounded amazing, One was trek the Himalayas.
Okay.
One was see kangaroos in Australia. You just start listing out and then you create a hierarchy of like if we came home and we didn't do this,
that would just be a bust, right?
Then
can't
you
have
realize
that.
The list is so insanely long that you're only going to be 30 minutes in each location.
Yeah.
So then you start talking about, do we
really
want to be immersed?
Maybe we can do this on the second trip.
We want to be immersed in the culture, or do we just want to see stuff and blow on to the next one?
Right.
And that is
a difference between tourism and really
and traveling.
Really
traveling
and seeing stuff, right.
And it is kind of funny. It's jumping ahead a little bit, but as many places as we traveled and the fact that we took a whole year to travel, invariably we come home and somebody will say, did you go somewhere? And we'll be like, we didn't go there.
Well, you saw the entire world and missed that
missed
one
South
thing.
South America? Right. Yeah. Kind of missed that.
Yeah. The whole continent.
So what happens? So you put
big palm print on your forehead.
Right. So you put that list together, your must go to list, right? Well, then you start looking at weather.
Yeah.
You're not going to trek in the Himalayas during the rainy season.
Probably a good plan right there.
You're not going to sail the Greek islands if there's no wind.
That's right.
Smart guy.
Monsoon.
So you start researching with those Lonely Planet guides. When you have to be in certain places.
Right.
And you have your world map there.
Yeah. And then your calendar starts forming all by itself.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And that's why, for example, South America got eliminated. Number one, we just couldn't fit it into the calendar. And number two, we figured it was in our hemisphere. We could make that.
You could just go there anytime you want.
Which we did after we came home.
Okay. Where did you go in South America after you came home?
Brazil and Peru.
Oh, wow.
My dad is married to a woman from Peru. They've been married a long time, Marita.
And it took you all this time to go there?
Well, we knew we could go because they had a house there. So we thought, we'll do
that
later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
See, I think they call that, a given.
Right.
That's a given.
That was a given.
Yeah.
So the calendar kind of dictated the routing to some degree. That's why in the middle of the trip, we flew all the way from New Zealand back to Italy.
As one would.
Which is halfway across the world.
It's 27 miles.
She almost said 27 miles. That was going to be great.
27 hours with an 8-year-old
27 hours with an 8-year-old and no criminal charges pending.
13-hour flight, 2-hour layover. Then you get on that 14-hour flight, and it's like, wow.
He was happy, though. He got video games on the plane.
I bet.
He didn't have any video games the whole trip, so he was thrilled.
And he was like, it's only 27 hours?
His little bloodshot eyes looked like he'd sat, one of those kids that sat too close to
I know, with the little, Outer Limits thing going.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's quite a picture. That'll send you right into nursing.
Yes.
Yeah. Listening for little blips and indicators, and that's where it all began.
It
Mario Brothers made nursing great.
That's right.
Well, on that note, on Mario Brothers note, we're going to go look for our princess in another castle right after these words right here at 97.9 FM WCHL. Don't go away. We've got much more to come on the Weekend Water Cooler. Okay, we're back. It's been pretty riotous here in the studio in between segments. I'm here with Mark and Julie Lewis, and we're talking about being an American outside of America. And, you know, we're going to talk more about this in the next segment, but you all have a little pattern that you should account for that, you know, you were traveling and voted absentee in the year 2000 when we had something of a problematic election. And you did the same thing this past year. And I think, frankly, that in 2020, you better plan on staying home.
Might be our fault.
I'm just going to say you're world leaders, whether you like it or not. So tell us how it was when you were on the road and just experiencing. How did people experience you traveling in 2000? You were unremarkable, or? It was before 9/11, and
we had not even one problem, and we would just sail through security. There was the only one time they stopped us because they saw something in our luggage, and it was an American football. And so the guy took it out and starts throwing it around in the airport, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah, it was when we traveled. It's weird as Americans, we're almost like celebrities. You know, everybody is so familiar around the world with American culture.
Right, right.
And then they see a real American. I mean, obviously not so much in, like, Paris or a place like that.
No, but, right. But in the more remote, you didn't only go to these touristy
locations. In the more developing world that we went to, you know, we're like celebrities, you know.
Yeah.
And like, it'd be interesting. I remember distinctly at one point we got off a plane. I think it was in Egypt. Mm-hmm. And there was a long line to go through customs, long line.
Yeah.
And we're there, and an Egyptian official steps out and says, "Any Americans here?"
we're like, hanged.
We, you know, reluctantly raised our hand. You
Julie
know,
points to you.
And they said, "Step out, please."
Right.
And so, he's you know, half a dozen Americans step out of the line.
Right.
And they say, "Come with me," and they just whisked us through customs.
Oh.
It's like they let us bypass the line. It was so, you know.
Good times.
It's really, when we were, Julie, telling the story about Nepal with the monk in Nepal, you know, just they see us as Americans and they just want to talk to us.
Yeah. They just want to see you and touch you and know that you came from this magical land that they've heard so much about.
In Thailand.
There's also the issue that Jerry Springer, that show, plays everywhere. And so they
Back
were
then.
Always really surprised that we weren't like that.
You didn't throw chairs at each other
no,
or anything.
That was
hardly
a
ever.
Funny comment. Some
hardly
people
ever.
Brought that up. Yeah.
Right. So, like, wow. So you go into a coffee shop and nobody's saying, "Are you the father of this child?" Let's find out.
Exactly.
We were in a small town in France, though, in Provence. Mm-hmm. And we were at a restaurant, a small French restaurant, and this, again, this is a small town, so it's rural area.
Right.
And we're at a restaurant, and at this point, this was the last 2 months of the trip, and we had a vehicle for the first time.
Oh, wow.
So we had room to carry things, and we had, you know, we had a trunk, essentially, so we could actually buy some things and not have to worry about just fitting it
into
our
backpack.
Yeah,
I mean, we should have mentioned that when you all left, because we took pictures of this for the paper, when you all left on that trip, You were taking with you only what you could carry on your back.
Yeah, well, four backpacks.
It was like a big backpacking trip.
Not really, because I had one backpack that was sort of medium-sized, and I had all of my clothes and all of Max's.
And Max's, right.
Mark had a big backpack with all of his clothes and technology.
Yeah.
And then we had carry-ons, and that was pretty much it.
And, yeah. And Max didn't have any video games and, you know, no TV, no electronics, no iPods or anything like that at the time. So.
Well, because, yeah. Yeah.
So they just weren't a big deal. But by the time we got to France, the latter part of our trip, we had bought him a little Game Boy back then. And so we're sitting in this restaurant and, you know, Max and this little French boy, Guillaume, about the same age as Max, are sitting together, huddled together like they've known each other their whole lives.
Right.
Not talking to each other.
No, right.
But sharing a small light coming from a small sconce on the wall.
Right.
Trying to play their respective Game Boys.
Right.
You know, and Guillaume didn't speak any English and Max didn't speak any French.
They both spoke Nintendo.
But they were shoulder to shoulder and they were just playing.
Right.
Well, of course, Guillaume's parents thought it was adorable and we thought it was adorable and they didn't speak my French is horrible but passable, and they didn't speak very much English. But over time, throughout the course of the dinner, you know, just making eye contact with each other really, they decided to invite us over to their home for a Provençal meal.
That's just ridiculous. You know? I don't believe this story.
We titled the chapter Wild Boar at Midnight. So that's when we ate it.
So wait a minute. So we think it's going to be this little intimate dinner, you know, with Guillaume and his parents and Max
an
and us.
18-course dinner.
And, you know, a Provençal meal, whatever that is, you know, at the time. And we go over there. And we find out that they've invited all of their neighbors to meet the Americans.
To meet the Americans.
They didn't, you know, in the small town of France, they didn't meet very many Americans.
Right.
They were very politically connected, though. These people were like,
it was like a Chapel Hill type crowd. Right. It was academics.
Okay.
Almost everybody there was
so
in
really
the arts
great
or
then,
academics.
Yeah.
And
they wanted to grill us.
George Bush had just been elected 6 months prior.
Yeah.
And, you know,
they thought you had some explaining to do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They wanted to know what the heck was going on.
And, you know, you look back on that now and you say, yes, that's right. We had elected a scholar from Yale and Harvard, in fact.
Yeah. So it was interesting, you know, and so all night.
Did you sign autographs and stuff?
But that's how it is when we travel, at least. You know, we're very friendly with people and very open, and they love meeting Americans. You know, people everywhere love meeting Americans. I mean, since our trip around the world, you know, we've been to
I'm just thinking back on the dates. I mean, so that was in early 2001.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Correct.
Exactly.
That
was May of 2001.
So, you know, as you were saying, you know, how things can change in a hot minute. Those events certainly changed everything. So you returned from the trip, you settled back in somewhat.
We call it retoxing.
You retoxed. You retoxified yourselves.
We did.
Max, you know, went on through the rest of his K-12 education and went to college, but you've continued traveling. Did you take subsequent trips with him just during non-school periods, or how did you do your international travel?
We went to Peru
while he
with
was
Max.
Still in school. Yeah. You went to Peru
when
with
he
Max.
Was a sophomore.
It was 10 years ago.
Yeah, so we took him to
Peru. So he was in high school.
He's now the one that travels. He says, "By the way, I'm going to be in Brazil this summer, and I'm going to." He's getting ready to go to Spain this year, and so he's got the bug as well. He's gone a lot.
Yes.
Shocked, I know.
Yeah.
I can't believe that. Where
Cuba,
did he pick that up?
He just got back
up?
From Cuba.
Did he really?
Yeah.
How did he like it?
He loved it.
I'm hearing that the tourism in general is really suffering because of our new administration's policies and plans for policies regarding whether or not you can get back in the country. Now, Max is a nice blonde-haired, blue-eyed kid who probably doesn't have to worry about that much.
We don't have to worry about that.
But he's going to have all of his social media scrutinized if he's coming through the border, I understand. If you live in the northern part of the United States, or if you don't, and you go to Canada for dinner, and you come back. You come back across the Canadian-U.S. border. They're going to take your phone. They're going to look at your contacts. They're going to see, especially if you look a certain way, apparently.
Yeah.
And they'd like to know if you're Muslim and so forth. And, you know, one wonders how these things came to be in the practice of the Border Service. But your rights as a citizen to for reasonable search and seizure don't apply if you're trying to get into the country. They apply if you're in the country.
Right. Right. And we've had, I mean, there's definitely a difference in the level of security around the world.
Yes.
Now,
very
as
different.
Compared to when we went in 99 and 2000.
Right.
We just had an incident in Nairobi that was kind of crazy and reflective of the issues going on.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk more about that in just a moment. We have much more to talk to Mark and Julie Lewis about here on WCHL 97.9 FM. And I got to tell you, man, you can't believe what's coming up next. Don't go away. Okay, we're back with Mark and Julie Lewis, and we're gonna wrap up in our final moments here. And Mark is going to tell us this gripping story about what happened in Nairobi. You all were traveling in Africa last year, while our country was having a meltdown politically. You were off having fun.
Well,
leaving us to fend for ourselves.
Well, just to, you know, so in contrast to us being whisked through security.
Yes, right. Exactly.
As if
right.
We were, you know.
Yeah. And here's the rest of the
Egypt,
story, as Paul Harvey would say.
Yeah, back in 2000.
Right.
Prior to 9/11 and prior to the events of the last decade.
Right.
We were in Nairobi this year, and we were really just passing through Nairobi.
Right.
We didn't go there to visit Nairobi. We went to Kenya to visit the Maasai Mara mm-hmm. and go on safari.
Right.
And you fly into Nairobi and
right.
it takes a day or two to get transported out
right.
to the safari.
Right.
So we recognize that Nairobi is a different kind of city where they do have a lot of problems.
Right.
And they do have, you know, terrorist bombings there
right.
and Boko Haram and
right.
issues.
And that's what we were talking about off air, is that this is the difference between, you know, New York City can be a dangerous place, for example, but New York City has crime, Chicago, Los Angeles, they have crime, but they don't have terrorism per se as an ongoing event that is and can occur.
Right.
And Nairobi doesn't have that status
right.
of security, so it's a different environment.
Right, right. So so we decided to stay in the downtown Hilton because I had some traveler's points. I know you're surprised.
I can't
by
believe
that.
You get traveler's points.
And got
Mark.
A free room there.
Yeah.
And normally we don't stay in big American hotels like that. But
right.
in this case, we just felt it was prudent.
Yeah, free,
you know,
free works for me
a,
too. Yeah.
A nice, free, comfortable room.
Right.
We had also, anyway, was traveling through Africa for a month prior to that. So
yeah.
having a comfortable room
yeah,
sometimes.
That seemed like an okay
nice.
Idea.
Yeah. And a hot shower, you know.
Yeah.
So so we were there, and our son Max was with us at mm-hmm. that point. He had taken some vacation time.
Right.
And he woke up. He thought it would be a good idea. He's a bit of a photography bug. He thought it would be a good idea to wake up in the morning and try to catch – you know, the sunrise over the buildings in downtown Nairobi,
right,
you
right.
know. And so he went out before we got up
right.
and started taking pictures. And the security there saw somebody up at sunrise taking pictures of the hotel.
Yeah.
And again, in the post 9/11 environment.
Right.
And
they thought he was making plans.
They wanted to find out why he was casing the joint.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Oh,
brother.
So we get a knock at the door. Again, we're sound asleep, but
yeah.
we get a knock at the door, and Max comes in, and he's like, "Where's my passport? Where's my ID identification papers?"
Right.
And there's three large African security guards standing at the door.
Right.
And they've got his camera. And
a lot of questions for him.
Yeah. So they're going to take him somewhere to ask him a lot of questions. So Julie and I were obviously a bit freaked out. Quickly threw some clothes on and followed them out, and they
took a... With all your experience, you didn't just say, okay, well, you know, call us when you get back, man, we'll do lunch.
Well, they took
just roll over and go back to sleep.
It was the first time I was, like, scared because I realized we don't have any rights. And I didn't know who they were. Were they part of the hotel security? Were they police?
Right.
Where were they taking him?
Right. So. The equivalent of Homeland Security, you have no idea.
Right.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and...
So that was a scary morning.
Yeah, so we spent a couple hours with them asking Max to download all his pictures and delete any pictures of the hotel. And of course, Max was shooting in RAW, so their computers there couldn't really look at the pictures. And so he had to get a converter. And they were actually, I think, partly because we were American, partly because we were family, and partly because we were white.
Right.
They were very polite and they were, you know, respectful. And I was, of course, managing the situation as best I can.
Right, right.
As an adult, you know.
Yeah.
So things didn't get out of hand, but it certainly reminds us of what other people in the world are dealing with as compared to what we deal with here. And certainly makes us
sympathetic.
Sure, that we don't want it to get like that here.
Right,
know?
Right. I
mean, now, we don't want to live in a police state like they do.
Exactly.
You
know? And we're inching toward that more than we probably realize based on some of the stories I'm hearing about how Americans are being treated coming back across the border from Canada if they go across for the day or for even just for the evening. You know, friends, if you're traveling in the northern New York or New England and you want to pop over to Canada for dinner, you might want to leave your cell phone at home because they can look through it when they get you at the border. They can download everything on it, all your contacts, all your
now with that being
everything.
So, but with that being said, since 9/11, in the last 10 years, we've traveled to Morocco. We've traveled to Kenya. We've traveled, spent a month in Ethiopia. We've traveled to South Africa. We've traveled to Peru. We've traveled to Brazil. We've traveled to several places in Europe.
When did you go to Vietnam? I remember that trip.
And we went
2012.
We spent 3 months traveling through Laos, Cambodia, and Vietnam, and Thailand. So, you know,
another
we've traveled
election year,
a lot.
That was close.
We've traveled a lot in since 9/11 and overall, the worst experience we had was this experience in Nairobi.
Right.
I mean, overall, we've had no
impact. Yeah, and that's not really that bad. It was scary, but
right.
Yeah.
And so we don't ever think that we're not going to travel because of anything. I mean, we've been traveling. We've had no issues. We're smart. We don't go to the Sudan. You know, at the moment, Mogadishu's off the
yeah, probably not doing Congo in the next year.
Yeah, you know, we're smart about it, and we try to educate ourselves. But we certainly have, and when we travel, we're treated well. We're people out there are kind to us. They get
although they were pretty alarmed in the last year. You said,
but you know,
they were wondering if you were some of the crazy Americans who were handing over the country to Bozo the Clown?
Oh, and I reassured them that it would never happen.
That's never going to happen. You were just like me. Yeah. Stop worrying about this.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
But, you know, in a lot of the countries we visit, they don't have a representative government.
Right.
So I think that it's easy for them
we forget to this, but yeah.
It's easy for them to sort of distinguish between the government and the people.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
You know? So they don't directly
personally blame us.
Exactly.
I'm so relieved to know this because
they empathize for us.
Yes,
because they've experienced.
Yeah, really.
Leadership.
They're like, oh, the last guy we had.
but think about it. I mean, the president of South Africa right now, I think he has 62 children, and 7 wives. So, you know, they look at us and they still think we're in the bounds of normal. That's crazy.
We're still aspirational.
Yeah.
Your president has only 3 wives.
Yeah.
Wow. But he can pay for them all, right?
It's
so
kind of crazy.
You know, apparently, right? I mean, he can pay for them all. You know, I mean, I think as a Jewish person, Mark, that you would appreciate the joke about, you know, Trump having his wife living in New York and that, you know, that he's in Washington and Florida. And so he considers that to be the two-state solution. That's the one he's in favor of.
Well,
I think when that whole subject.
You're saying that he could pay for them all. I think we're paying for
them all. Yeah, well, yeah. Now, of course, now we've picked up the payments for the next 4 years, it would seem. But of course, you know, the federal government has provided him a nice stream of income for the next year. Well, this has been a lot of fun. And of course, our listeners at home have not been enjoying the slideshow that we've had running all the way through the program. So you haven't seen all their pictures. And we don't have a website to send you to see all the pictures, do we? You don't have a website with a slideshow running of all your pictures?
No.
You don't? And why not? Why don't you?
I'm not a writer. Julie's the writer.
Julie's
the
writer.
There's going to be a blog. It would have to be Julie's.
Yeah, it's going to have to be Julie's.
Can I just put a shout out to Ethiopia? Everybody out there, try to visit Ethiopia. It's an amazing country.
All right. I love that. It's an amazing country with great people.
Amazing people.
Very curious and interested people, engaged and caring about.
And it's very safe. You go there, you're never worried about getting mugged or anything, and you've got history, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful
place.
And
they also wanted to know what's going on with the guy with the orange hair, right?
Oh, yeah.
They remote did. Village in Ethiopia.
I assured them he would not be elected.
Yes. And wasn't that a big relief? Well, thank you so much, Mark and Julie Lewis. Come back and see us after your next trip.
Thank you, Gene.
And we can't wait to hear from you again. That's Mark and Julie Lewis here on the Water Cooler. Well, everyone, have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week. Thanks.